O Lord, you are good and upright, instructing, guiding, and teaching the humble in your ways. So show us your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God, our Saviour, and our hope is in you all day long. O Lord, by your Spirit, open our eyes that we might see wonderful things in your law. For Jesus' sake, amen. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "Amen, amen, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do not understand these things? Amen, amen, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you did not believe. How will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. For just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Amen. A Selina, Countess of Huntingdon, was a member of the English aristocracy during the 18th century. I think the title Countess is a bit of a giveaway to what she was. But she was also a very committed Christian and a sponsor of George Whitefield, the great Calvinistic Methodist preacher. Whitefield, along with John Wesley, was the great preachers of that time. And one day after hearing him preach, she turned to him and asked, "Mr. Whitefield, why do you always preach on the text, 'You must be born again'?" And Whitefield replied, "Madam, because you must." And that little snippet of conversation between these two people introduces what I want us to talk about this morning: the necessity of the new birth. Last week we thought about the importance of the new birth, especially in the way Jesus linked being born again with the key issues of seeing and entering God's kingdom. Today we're going to take things a little bit further on by looking at why everyone needs to be born again. And our jumping off point is that text which George Whitefield often preached on. It's John 3 verse 7. Jesus' statement to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Now, I've only got two main things, of other things to say under these headings, but two main things to say about what Jesus said to Nicodemus. And here's the first thing. It's that everyone must be born again. When I was a theological student, I remember talking to a man who was the minister of a large Presbyterian congregation in a provincial town. And he told me about all the things that he did. And as I listened, you know, I was sort of wondered how the man got time to eat and sleep, never mind, anything else. And so I asked him what he did to relax. And I still remember his reply. He said, "We play golf on a Monday morning." Now, the conversation took place around about the time when I realized that my eyesight wasn't as good as it was, and I was going to have to get glasses. But as far as I could work out, even with my sort of beginning to go eyesight, I could see that there was only two of us in the room at the time. And so I thought to myself, what is all this "we play golf" about? I thought it was only the Queen and Margaret Thatcher and Hyacinth Bouquet who talk like that. "We play golf." Why didn't he say, "I play golf on a Monday morning"? One of the interesting things about Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus is that he almost talks in those terms as well. He uses very general and broad terms. This was a private conversation between two individuals chatting one to one. But Jesus spoke like my senior colleague. Twice in verse 3 and verse 5, Jesus says this, and this is a literal translation. He says, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born again." Now, Jesus is not pretending he's a toff when he isn't. But by using very general and broad terms, what Jesus is indicating is that what applies to Nicodemus as an individual applies to everyone in general. Everyone, with no exceptions, needs to experience the new birth. There's not a single man, woman, young person, girl or boy who does not need to be born again. And if we move from the general to the particular, what Jesus is saying is that you must be born again, and I must be born again. Yet in spite of the clarity of Jesus' teaching, there are people who think that the new birth is for others and not for them. "I'm a good, decent, upright, clean living person," they say. "I don't need to be born again." But they do. Good, decent, upright and clean living people need to experience the new birth. And the reason's there at the start of verse 1. Because Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Here was a man who was good and decent and upright and clean living. He was squeaky clean. But Jesus still said to him, "You must be born again. Your good, decent, upright and clean living life does not exempt you from the need to experience the new birth." Or people will say, I read the Bible and say my prayers and come to church and pay in and I'm very religious. I don't need to be born again." But they do. Religious people need to experience the new birth. Why? Because Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And in Jesus' time, The Pharisees were on the top rung of the religious ladder. Nobody was more religious than a Pharisee. But still Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Your religious activity does not exempt you from the need to experience the new birth. Or others will say, I've been baptized and I take communion. I don't need to be born again. But you do. Baptized communicants need to experience the new birth. Why? Because Nicodemus was circumcised and took part in the Passover, the Old Testament equivalents of the baptism and the Lord's Supper. But Jesus still said to him, you must be born again. Taking part in the sacraments does not exempt you from the need to experience the new birth. I'm a leader in the church and people look up to me. I don't need to be born again. But you do. Ministers, elders, members of committee, other leaders need to experience the new birth. And the reason is found at the end of verse 1, because Nicodemus, we're told, was a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. He was a spiritual leader among the people. People looked up to him and respected him. But Jesus still said to him, you must be born again. Your status in the church and your reputation with others doesn't exempt you from the need to experience the new birth. Or other people say, I know a great deal about the Bible. And I can even explain it to others. I don't need to be born again. But they do. People who know the Bible from cover to cover, who have the ability to explain it to others, they need to experience a new birth. And the reason is found in verse 10, because it indicates that Nicodemus knew the Bible and was able to explain it to others. Jesus doesn't describe Nicodemus as a teacher in Israel. He describes him as the teacher in Israel. He was at the top of the Bible teaching food chain. What Nicodemus didn't know about the Old Testament wasn't worth knowing. And perhaps there was someone better at teaching the Bible than Nicodemus was, but no one knew where that person lived. And yet Jesus still said to him, you must be born again. Knowledge of the Bible's contents and even the ability to explain it to others doesn't exempt you from the need to experience the new birth. Folks, we've really got to be clear about this. Jesus is saying to us here, everyone needs to be born again. You need to experience the new birth, and I need to experience the new birth. Neither you nor I are the exception that proves the rule, because there are no exceptions to this rule. Jesus is saying to you this morning, You must be born again. There is absolutely no wriggle room at all in this. So don't even try to evade what Jesus is doing. Everyone, he says, everyone, you, me, everyone must be born again. Now the second thing I want you to notice about what Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3 verse 5 is this. Everyone must be born again. Why must everyone in general, and you and I in particular, be born again? Jesus teaches that the necessity of the new birth lies in an across-the-board problem that everyone has. And he describes this universal problem in this way in verse 6. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh. you need to be born again, I need to be born again, because like everyone else, we are born of the flesh. Now, what on earth is Jesus talking about here? Well, let me try to explain. Let me clear the deck by pointing out that by flesh, Jesus is not talking about our physical flesh, our skin and sinews and blood vessels and ligaments and muscles and all the rest of the stuff that we learnt about in biology and have probably forgotten years ago. He's not talking about that. By the term flesh, Jesus means the fallen, corrupt, sinful nature that we were all born with and which has been vandalized by sin. We have had this fallen, sinful nature since the moment of our conception. And none of us can become Christians. None of us can experience spiritual life. None of us can have the hope of heaven when we die. None of us can see and enter the kingdom of God if our fallen, sinful nature remains unchanged. If you are simply born of the flesh, you cannot see or enter God's kingdom. And it is because you are naturally born of the flesh, and as a consequence excluded from God's kingdom, that you must be born again. Now, let's tease out what being born of the flesh means. For starters, being born of the flesh means to have an inherent, inbuilt, inward corruption. Sin has polluted you on the inside. At the heart of your problem is the problem of your heart, which has been contaminated by sin. Jesus taught that all the sinful stuff you say and do and think come from inside. It's not that you are a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. And if you are to enter God's kingdom, you must be changed from the inside. And this will only happen with something as radical as the new birth. You must be born again if your flesh, with its inherent, inbuilt, inward corruption, is to be dealt with. Now, we really need to get hold of this, because we live in a society that tells us that sin is all outward. It's the bad words we say, it's the bad stuff that we do. But Jesus is saying sin begins inside us. It's inward. And remember who Jesus was talking to here. He was not speaking to some down and out or to some notorious sinner. Nicodemus was not living an open life of sin. He was not a hypocrite or a fraud. He tried hard to live the right way. He was a good and moral and decent man. Yet Jesus said to him, "You must be born again, Nicodemus." And the reason why he needed to be born again was because he was born of the flesh with its inherent, inward, inbuilt corruption. It's true that Nicodemus had taken his fallen sinful nature, had educated it and disciplined it so that he'd not fallen into any gross sin. His name didn't appear in the Sunday papers. But he hadn't dealt with it. It was still there. No amount of discipline and self-knowledge and character building could alter the fact that Nicodemus was still of the flesh and so needed a new birth. And that's the same true of you. Nothing short of a new birth will deal with your flesh with its inward, inbuilt, inherent corruption. In the second place, being born of the flesh means to have an inward, inbuilt, inward rebellion against Jesus. The Bible says that in your heart there is a throne, and self sits on that throne instead of Jesus, and self is determined that Jesus will not sit on that throne. And being born of the flesh means we have a deep-seated hostility from the moment we can breathe towards Jesus' rule in our lives. As God, Jesus has the rights to the throne of your life, and he will not accept any other position other than absolute control of your life. But by nature, you will not have Jesus' rule. The mind controlled by the flesh, says Paul in Romans 8, verse 7, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's authority, nor can it do so. And because you are born of the flesh, you find it impossible to submit to Jesus' rule. And as a result, you're excluded from entering God's kingdom, because entering God's kingdom means submitting to Jesus' authority. And unless you experience the new birth, something which causes you to welcome Jesus as King into your life, you will never enter the kingdom. That's why you must be born again. If your flesh, with its inherent, inbuilt, inward hostility and rebellion against Jesus, is to be dealt with. And thirdly, being born of the flesh means to have an inherent, inward, inbuilt slavery to sin. Here's what Jesus said in John 8, verse 34. Amen, amen, I tell you. So he's going to say something important, so we need to pay attention. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Nicodemus thought he was a servant of God, but he wasn't in reality a servant of sin. Remember, he sinned in a respectable religious way, but the fact that he sinned showed that his slavery to sin had not been dealt with. He'd had it since he was born, and he was still there. And the same is true of you. You might lead a respectable religious life, but the fact that you sin shows that you're born of the flesh with this inherent inbuilt slavery to sin. And if that tragic situation is to change, you need to be born again. Only something as radical as the new birth will free you from your slavery to sin. Turning over a new leaf and trying harder to get your act together will not. You've tried that, and it hasn't worked. As you've thought about your past and the mistakes you've made, you've said to yourself, things are going to be different from today onwards. I'm going to pull my socks up and get my life sorted out. But before long, you're making the same old mistakes again. Why? Because your flesh, with its inward slavery to sin, can't be chained by your willpower and your determination. You will only change if your slavery to sin is broken, and that only happens when you're born again. And Jesus does not say to us, go back and try harder. Jesus doesn't say to us, doctor up your life and try to revamp it and relaunch it. Jesus doesn't say to us, try harder, be more religious. Folks, those are recipes for disaster. That's the counsel of despair. Because we've tried harder and it hasn't worked. Jesus offers us hope because he says, I can give you a new birth that will deal with this slavery to sin, that will break the power of sin in your life and set you free from your slavery to sin. And being born of the flesh means to have an inherent, inward, inbuilt spiritual blindness. After talking to him about being spiritually born again. Nicodemus comes up with a pretty dopey statement for someone who's supposed to know the Bible. Verse 4. He says, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Nicodemus hadn't a Scooby-Doo about what Jesus was saying. Isn't that right? He hadn't a bally notion what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about spiritual things. And Nicodemus thought he was talking about physical things. He was totally spiritually blind. And if you sit there and say, "Well, what on earth is all this stuff about being born again? It just doesn't make sense to me." Then you're walking in Nicodemus' shoes. You see, being born of the flesh means that you're spiritually blind to spiritual truth. Only something as radical as the new birth will give you spiritual insight so that you understand what Jesus is talking about. When I was a small boy living with my grandparents, I needed to take a tonic. And some of you will remember the kind of tonics you took in the 60s. It was thick and horrible and orange-coloured, but not orange-tasting, in one of those big brown bottles that seemed to go on forever. And my granny used to try and encourage me to take my medicine by saying, "Roger, it may not taste nice, but it will do you good." And then she would hold my nose, and when I opened my mouth to breathe, and it went. What Jesus is saying is a bit like this medicine, isn't it? It's not very nice. It's not very pleasant. But you know, it's for our good. It's designed to press upon our consciences this fact that we need to be born again. That all of us need to be born again. He's trying to get us to grasp that. I wonder, have you seen that? Do you grasp that in spite of all your religion, your respectability, your reputation, you're still born of the flesh, and so the door of heaven is firmly closed in your face? If you've grasped that, if you're beginning to understand that, you're beginning to understand the necessity of the new birth. Folks, you really must be born again. There's no other way for you to see and enter the kingdom of God. There's no other way for you to become a Christian and experience eternal life and of the hope of heaven. You must be born again. And the good news is this, that you can experience the new birth. And you say, how? Well, you can't by yourself bring about the new birth. You're born of the flesh. And I can't bring about the new birth. I wish I could bring about the new birth in your life. I wish I could bring about the new birth in the life of every single person in Beaver and Belfast and throughout the world. I wish I could, but I can't. Only God can. Only God can. So you must go to him if you realize that you need to be born again. You must go to him. He won't scold you if you do, you know. Because the Bible tells us that God is forgiving and good, abounding in love to those who call on him. So call on him and ask him to work in your heart by his Spirit, so that you will be willing and able to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. So that you may not only know about the new birth in your minds and understand it, but you might experience the reality of the new birth in your life. Folks, if you want to be in heaven, Jesus says, you must be born again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your truth about ourselves and our dire need for the new birth, it humbles us to the dust. But you have cut our hearts open, painfully exposing our inward corruption, so that you might heal us by dealing with the disease of sin that has affected us inwardly and so badly. Work in us by your Spirit, giving us new birth so that we might not only know that we need to be born again, but that we might actually experience it. Help us to call upon you in the assurance that you will have mercy on us and change us inwardly. Hear our prayer and make your salvation known, not just among us, but in our community as well. And we pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name and for your sake. Amen.